At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets
and help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters every afternoon. I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen.
And I'm David Gura. Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The numbers told the story. They always do.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
It is a numbers game here on VSiN. Of course, we're brought to you by BetMGM. Happy to be with you. I'm Jeff Parles in for Gil Alexander. In this hour here on the program, John Jansen, Fox Sports The Gambler, host of The Line Change on that radio station. He'll be with us in 15 minutes' time. We got the Brooklyn perspective of the mega deal last week. We'll get the Philadelphia perspective, and we'll also look at some college hoops with John Jansen as well. Adam Burke, our guy, of course, VSiN contributor. You have seen him. You've seen him on Primetime Action, on BetCenter on the weekends. We'll get Adam's thoughts on some college hoops and some really early NFL lines for the 2022 season. The Super Bowl futures out. The NFC Championship and AFC Championship futures came out at a bunch of books over the last few days. Matt Neverett is in my chair. I got to see if I get a reaction out of him real quick. The report yesterday that we talked about on the show from Jeremy Fowler of ESPN of Deshaun Watson being open to both Tampa and Minnesota. I think you're at a point where if you bet Minnesota today and with the unknown of Aaron Rodgers and the NFC North, you bet Minnesota today to win the NFC. The best number I saw was 22-1, which seemed pretty high. All things considered. Now, look, I know we don't love Kirk Cousins. I think he's probably about quarterback number 12, which is still easily in the top half. I think that's worth it, especially if you get Deshaun Watson in Minnesota. I mean, that team goes from, all right, probably losing in the second round of the playoffs to, okay, in a wide-open NFC, you could end up in the Super Bowl. I mean, again, I like Matthew Stafford. Could be a borderline Hall of Famer when this is all said and done. Matthew Stafford just got through the NFC and won the Super Bowl. Deshaun Watson, when on the field, of course, he has all the off-the-field issues that still need to be handled and resolved. Deshaun Watson, better football player than Matthew Stafford. I'd rather have him the football player over Stafford still.
And I think the Vikings, if you're making that bet, you're assuming a whole lot.
That's correct.
Number one, you're assuming, Cousins gone, Watson, legal situation squared away, then Rodgers leaving. If Rodgers goes back, I don't think you can make that bet.
Well, look, you're really, again, if you're betting, it's too early for me to hop in on anything. I need to see the offseason. I need to see who does what in this offseason. But Aaron Rodgers potentially leaving Green Bay is really the only story, at least at the forefront of the offseason, that matters. Because assuming Rodgers is telling us the truth, always a question of that now. If he's telling us the truth of he's going to resolve this early on because it impacts other people, then you have a scenario where you're going to know by the beginning of free agency, all right, do I need to get in quickly on Green Bay futures, or do I need to get in quickly on other teams' futures in the NFC? Because if Rodgers leaves, then all of a sudden you have the numbers somewhat baked in that Rodgers is legitimately a coin flip to stay the way that the numbers are in the NFC futures and the Super Bowl futures for next year. But it's fascinating to see, again, a lot of offseason to go through in the NFL. And, again, we are We are a little bit over 2 months away from the NFL draft, which is right here in Vegas. Again, as I said yesterday, I'm very intrigued to see what ends up happening with the newer age odds that could hopefully come to Nevada from the newer jurisdictions over the next few months. The odds to win next year's Super Bowl, as we've said, Buffalo and Kansas City, they are the favorites, the co-favorites, plus 750. Again, a much longer number than usual for a favorite. Almost double digits on both of them. Don't bet the Broncos. That's all I'm going to tell you. Don't waste your money on the Broncos. 16-1. That is baked in that Aaron Rodgers is potentially going there. Bottom of the screen now, Baltimore. I said it earlier in the week. The Ravens, that's the team to look at if they have a good offseason there in Baltimore for the Ravens, who have a last-place schedule for the first time in a long time. Very important for them. A little bit easier schedule moving forward. Also yesterday, the LA Rams parade, which I was surprised Jason Weingarten wasn't actually at. Sure seems like Aaron Donald is coming back, and sure seems like Sean McVay is coming back. Boy, don't you love that the 2 weeks between the Super Bowl, you get all sort the week before that bye week, and then the week of the Super Bowl, you always get that nonsense reports of stuff. Sure seems like both of those are trending towards not being those reports that either of those guys are going to walk away. Doesn't seem to be too accurate there. Rams, of course, as you saw on the screen, near the top of the board, the shortest NFC shot of anyone in the on those odds for next year. As we said earlier in the week, and I'll get John Jansen's thoughts, we'll see how close a select team in the NFC East could be if they get one of those high-end quarterbacks. We'll talk about that with John Jansen in 5 minutes' time. By the way, Matt and Everett, I forgot to do something that Gil and I did last week, and I'll bring it up real quick right here before we get into some college hoops for today. Our curling update, how could I forget it? We already completed the semifinals. We're in the medal round already. And our defending gold medalist, Team Schuster from the United States, fell earlier today to the pre-tournament favorites of Great Britain. So the Americans will play the Canadians in the bronze medal match on the men's side. Great Britain will play Sweden, who was the bet that I kind of liked and, of course, naturally didn't bet before the tournament to win the gold in curling. So that's your curling update. Well, I know you were waiting on bated breath for that, Matt.
Of course. Well, we talked about it before the show. It's one of the benefits of being here this early, which is the South Point being a 24-hour, 365-day-a-year sports book. It's one of the benefits. But you were telling me that you very nearly took those odds, but at a very beneficial number.
Yeah, no. There was one book that had a wrong number in comparison, and I'm kind of frustrated I didn't bet it. Thus is life. Again, you know, the leans that you don't play are the ones that always hit. You know that, Matt and Everett. For that. Let's get into some college hoops for tonight. By the way, I don't know if you know this, there is a game that starts as immediately as we are off the air today in the MAC, Buffalo and Eastern Michigan. If you want to get your either breakfast or lunch with hoops today, big line move here, actually, from 9 to 11 and 11 and a half. On this Buffalo on the road. Matt, I actually think I am going to put an official play during the break. I will take the points with Eastern Michigan very happily against Buffalo in this early 12 noon game. Again, if you watch as much college hoops because you don't have much of a life like me outside of the work, Buffalo is one of the worst coached mid-majors in the country. I do not like Jim Whitesell because that is a team that has had a lot of talent ever since Nate Oates started building that program back up before going to Alabama. They're an underachiever with the amount of talent they have. And going on the road playing a weird weekday noon local time tip and Eastern Michigan's Ypsilanti, right? Pretty sure on that. It just kind of seems like that could be a no-show for Buffalo and that. So we'll take, especially since it's better than the overnight, I had Eastern Michigan on my list, potentially a plus 9. We'll look to take Eastern Michigan in that early game, getting 11 in that one. Again, starting at noon Eastern. Who doesn't love the noon Eastern regular season tip in the MAC? Very random for that one. Other games tonight of note, I will say this. It's been a pretty odd week for distribution of these games, where last night, yeah, maybe two games that were really of note. Tonight, if you're looking for ranked team action, there's no matchups between two ranked teams. You have Arizona, who is a ginormous favorite, and properly so, at home tonight against Oregon State. They're 24-point favorites. Oregon State, who's off their Elite Eight appearance, is a hearty 3-20 this year. Nothing wrong with 24 on Arizona. I think that number's right. The interesting way to play this game, I'd almost look to actually, I don't love betting totals, but I would consider betting a total here. Arizona plays a very fast tempo, a top five tempo in the entire country. Which, by the way, Matt Nevert, I don't know if you know this, Arizona's number two in KenPom, which surprised me when I looked at that this morning. Arizona is top 10 in both offensive and defensive efficiency. Usually that's a pretty telltale sign that they're a team that can make a big run in March. KenPom has this, by the way, as a 29-point line. So if you want to take Arizona, you actually on that, think that's a little KenPom thinks that 24 is short. I think that's about right, though. Oregon State is 310th in the country in defense. If Oregon State, in order to get that over on 152 and a half, I think you only need 65 out of Oregon. If you get 65, I think you're getting there. You may not even need to get into the 60s. This feels like a game where Arizona's going to score 100. So I actually do, again, very rarely hop in on totals. But based off the pace Arizona plays, based off the fact that they're great offensively against a bottom 40 defense in the country, I like that total over. You get to 100 with Arizona, you're going to win. You get in the mid-80s, you're going to have a good shot to get there for Arizona. I think they're going to be in the mid to high 90s, at least getting themselves into the 100 mix. Arizona's high watermark in conference, by the way, is 90. And that happened against Oregon State. So there you go. Or excuse me, up until the game against Washington, should say 92 against Washington just a few days ago. Oregon State is so bad. Pretty amazing. Course of history changed with that big winning streak here in the Pac-12 tournament for them. Probably would have been a different coach there in Corvallis. John Jansen will give his thoughts on the NBA and more. That's next on The Numbers Game here on VSiN.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you missed any part of our show or anything on the VSiN schedule today, don't forget to check out our free sports betting podcast. Catch replays of all of our shows or download and listen on your schedule. So go to VSiN.com/podcasts and get the Beating the Book pod with Gil Alexander, Market Insights with Josh Applebaum, Hardwood Handicappers with JVT, The Lombardi Line, Follow the Money, My Guys in the Desert. Don't forget Coast to Coast Hoops with Greg Peterson, The Wide World, The Wine Garden, and much more. They are all free and available now at vsin.com/podcast or wherever you get your podcast. It is a numbers game on VSIN. I'm Jeff Parles, and now with us, It is John Jansen of Fox Sports The Gambler. He hosts The Line Change Monday through Friday. John, you're now moving up in the world. You're now 7-10 most days, John. You get to get out of there earlier.
Yeah, a little bit early. An hour early is good for me, so I'm okay with that.
There you go. And backwards hat for Jansen cashes at minus 250 this morning.
That's a signature. Would Slash ever be called without a top hat? Come on.
John, I got to ask you real quick here, because we talked about a little bit on your program tonight that it happened. But from your perspective here, because Harden doesn't look like he's going to play tonight for the Sixers. They'll get him back after the All-Star break. But how do you think Embiid and Harden are going to mesh here for people that are looking to make a Sixers futures bet now with Harden being in Philadelphia?
I think overall pretty good. Obviously, I think what I heard you say it too. We are not exactly sure yet of how this is going to work, but overall, I would say on the surface, a good point guard paired with a really good center. They work well off the pick and roll. The only thing is, and I talked about this last night on my show, that they're two unique kind of players. Like Harden is unique. Harden's not a true point guard. Harden's a little bit different. He loves to get to the foul line. So does Embiid. The thing is, I think will work well. They're not going to take shots from each other. Like James Harden is going to take shots away from Maxey, from Tobias Harris, those perimeter shots. Joel Embiid plays a much different game in a much different spot. So I don't think they take away from each other, but I do kind of think that the unique kind of games that they have, it is something that I'm curious about. And I don't know if that 100% fits, or maybe it fits even better than we think, but it's something I'm definitely looking out for.
No. And it's interesting too, because you saw them vault up the futures boards, and properly so, after the deal, John, but looking at this Eastern Conference, Philly currently in the five hole, which right now, if they drew Cleveland, as good as a story Cleveland has been, I'm sure the Sixers would be very happy with that draw if they got the Cavs. But, John, just looking forward, Milwaukee and Miami still seem to be problem matchups potentially for the Sixers.
Yeah, I think Milwaukee is such a sure thing right now. So when I saw the futures come out, as soon as that Harden trade, I was kind of stunned that the Sixers and the Bucks were kind of the same. And I was kind of baffled by that, because Milwaukee is such a sure thing. They're still a great team. Giannis is still playing like he's one of the best players in the NBA. But, the Sixers, it's all just upside. And I think I am going to wait. It's not like you have to get it right now, and it's not going to be at a great price. You can wait for it and get it. But the Nets, I think are even more of a wild card. So I'm still just baffled by the fact that they're still at the top of the Eastern Conference board. I'm not sure why that's the case.
The Nets still in the eighth seed after that miraculous win at the Garden last night, down by 28. Still waiting to see if there's a rule change on the vaccine mandate for Kyrie Irving there in New York City. John Jansen of Fox Sports The Gambler, hosts The Line Change, starting 7:00 Eastern time, Monday through Friday. John, I want to shift to the MVP debate, because this has been a hot button topic, especially in Philadelphia, because Joel Embiid has gone from only about 35-1 to being the betting favorite very quickly here because of this just huge month he's had. Do you think he's going to win the MVP at this point? And it kind of goes back to him and Harden's meshing ability still, John.
Yeah, there's still, I think I even heard you talking about this. It's still pretty wide open. Yep. There just needs to be somebody to take the reins on this. And I'm not sure if the Sixers are that, because there is going to be a feeling out process. Is Joel Embiid numbers going to be still very good? I still think he's going to average a double-double and over 29 or just about 29 points per game. Like, I don't think much changes. I think the changes are with the Sixers. I don't know what kind of run they're going to go on. When I'm more like, see Milwaukee go on a big run, and if they end up rattling off 10 straight wins, well, yeah, then Giannis injects himself into the top of the conversation of MVP. And then also Nikola Jokic, Denver has a chance to go on a run and really climb up the Western Conference board. So in just looking at potential scenarios, it's really tough for me to think that the Sixers are going to be as strong in the second half. Yeah, I still think they're going to be fine, and I think they're going to end up with a pretty good seed in the Eastern Conference, but it's just not as likely that they have a run that I think Milwaukee could potentially go on.
No, and I kind of brought that up earlier, with at least on the Bucks side, where if Milwaukee goes on the thermonuclear run that they seemingly do every year, and Giannis is leading that run, that would be the way that this gets blown up for an Embiid or a Jokic. I would vote for Jokic today personally, but We'll see how it plays out over the last 20-some-odd games in the league. John Jansen with us right now. John, I want to bring up one NFL thing because you've become the Joe Burrow hater all of a sudden for whatever reason. I want to just phrase it this way more than anything, because there seems to be this consensus that Cincinnati is going to be able to make it back at some point. We brought this up earlier in the week. Dan Marino made it in his second year, never made it again. The AFC is stacked across the board. This really does feel like a game that they lose by a field goal, that Cincinnati in a run where, look, they were lucky in those in a few spots in those playoffs. McPherson was the best kicker in the world for a month. But it sure seems like this was the missed opportunity of missed opportunities for Cincinnati this past Sunday.
Yeah, it seemed like it was a magical run, you know, even going to a little bit, it was a little bit of a different scenario, but the 2017 Eagles, you know, we didn't really expect them to be there, all of a sudden there, and they're winning games, and maybe you could have said the Atlanta game was lucky, all that, but they played really well at the end. But Cincinnati was on that kind of run where it seemed like it was going to end with the championship. And I just think that the difference with Cincinnati is going to be their defense. You know, I don't think it's going to hold up throughout the regular season and into the postseason the way it did this postseason. Like, Joe Burrow was getting all the credit for winning those games, but the thing is, he was just all right. He was very pedestrian, average. Like, there wasn't anything spectacular he was doing. He was still turning the ball over. His numbers all regressed from the regular season into the postseason. Yes, offensive line has something to do with that, and I think that is somewhat of a simple fix, but then you have to go fix the defense, which I don't think is going to repeat the same performance they had through the postseason. So to me, Cincinnati is a huge regression candidate, when also so you have somebody like the Ravens, who are getting healthy, getting their MVP quarterback back. By the way, Joe Burrow is not the best quarterback in that division. Lamar Jackson still MVP of the league. Joe Burrow doesn't have one of those yet, if I'm not mistaken. So I think the Ravens have a chance to get better. I just don't know where Cincinnati can, or if they can get better enough defensively. I think there are more holes to fix than people are letting on.
No, I don't disagree with you. And we brought up Baltimore earlier in the week as a regression to the mean in a positive way. For Baltimore, they lose their last six to miss the playoffs. They had over 25 guys on IR by the end. I am with you on Baltimore. Wouldn't shock me one bit if the Ravens win the AFC North next year and Cincinnati is in a 5 or 6 or maybe even a 7 seed in the AFC. And no fault to their own, where they might actually have a better roster than they had this year, but just sometimes regress even with a better roster in this league. John, I want to ask you real quick, because this seems to be a talking point a little bit more than I would have expected. For the Eagles, who I think are, at this point, with the way that that division breaks down, and a coaching staff in Dallas I don't trust, and we have about a 90 seconds here for your answer. Are the Eagles really a Russell Wilson trade, or maybe even a Deshaun Watson trade away from being a team you would look to bet in, let's say, a divisional future market next year?
Yeah, I would. You know, I think it can happen a lot quicker because they have a lot of assets, and it's just the thought is you get Russell Wilson, or you have to, you know, get Deshaun Watson, whatever it is, give up a lot of money, give up a lot of assets, but you don't give it up all at once. There still is multiple different ways to build. If you, let's say, get Russell Wilson, I think you still have a little bit more cap room to work with, and you still have some trade assets. It's not like Russell Wilson's going to get a haul of 4 or 5 first round picks. They have 3 of them this year, and it's not going to cost all 3 of them to get him. So I think the Eagles can build. There already is a foundation there. And most of them seem like they're staying. Jason Kelsey seems like he's not going to retire. Fletcher Cox is still there. Like, there's still a solid foundation. Brandon Graham's coming back from injury. So I think a quarterback does kind of get them into the conversation, because that would mean they're also willing to get more players through the trade or more players through free agency as well. So, yeah, I think so.
John, before we let you go, if you were to make a bet in the futures market right now for next year's Super Bowl in 20 seconds or less, who's the team?
I'm just going to make a sound clip for you, Jacksonville.
Oh, yes, I knew
Jacksonville's going to go for it. Doug Peterson's not there for rebuild or for a couple of years. Doug Peterson's there, and Trevor Lawrence is there to win now. Within this rookie contract window, they're going to trade. They're going to get all the top free agents. Like, I'm anticipating that Jacksonville goes all in, like most teams do with the second-year quarterback, and the upside of Trevor Lawrence is a lot greater than people think, and I think there's more talent on that roster as well than what they let on.
John, I can't wait to use this clip back at you when it goes horribly awry. I can't wait. Can't wait. John Jansen, everyone, host of The Line Change on Fox Sports The Gambler in Philadelphia, 7 o'clock start time for that show Monday through Friday. John, thank you, buddy. We'll talk again tonight, actually.
Yes, we will. About Jacksonville.
Yes, there you go. Adam Burke with us next, talking college hoops on A Numbers Game. To A Numbers Game, and of course we have a great offer for you here at VSiN that is described as madness. You get VSiN all access to everything we do from now through the college basketball championship on April the 4th for just $29. Sign up now, get our daily best bet emails, 24/7 video access, the upcoming college hoops betting guide, bracket breakdowns, plus full access to VSiN.com with our exclusive betting splits breakdowns on every game. This deal only happens once a year, so don't miss out. Visit VSiN.com/madness to sign up today. It is A Numbers Game here on VSiN. I'm Jeff Parles. I wish I had left John Jansen some more time. Just let him praise the great franchise that is the Jacksonville Jaguars a little bit longer. But now with us, one of the smartest guys that I have had the pleasure of being on the air with, of course, it is our guy Adam Burke. You can get him on the tweets at Skating Tripod, still one of the best Twitter handles there is. Adam, good morning. Pleasure as always to talk to you, buddy.
No, I appreciate you buttering me up here for the 8:30 a.m. spot. Thank you so much for that, Jeff.
Well, I have to do it. You got up early for us, and we're happy to have you. Adam, I just want to start with something you wrote earlier in the week on VSiN.com, and that is, it's never too early to look forward to next year's Super Bowl. You gave out three futures that you like. Of the three that you gave out, let's go through one of those, and you can pick the one you want. What's one team that you're looking at futures-wise a little early for next year's Super Bowl?
Yeah, I'll go ahead and take the shortest price that I wrote about, and that's the Los Angeles Chargers at 25-1. You know, look, I mean, obviously we know that offense is very good, and they were a team that they were seconds away from making the playoffs this year. You know, if we would have had the gentleman's agreement with the tie in week 18, they would have made the playoffs, would have spared us from seeing the Pittsburgh Steelers in the playoffs, and that would have been good for everybody. But, you know, for the Chargers here, they have the second most available cap space to spend this offseason. So this is a team that is set up very nicely on the offensive side. It's the defensive side that everybody's worried about, and they've got money to address that. So to me, I think the Chargers are a team that could really take a step forward here. It is a difficult division, and it would get even more difficult if, for whatever reason, the Broncos got Aaron Rodgers or Russell Wilson or Deshaun Watson or somebody of that ilk. But I still think that this Chargers team is really poised for sort of that second-year breakout for Brandon Staley, who we know was the architect of that really good Rams defense that we just saw win a Super Bowl. So I guess the Chargers team, it's really ready to take the leap. And at 25-1, I think they're worth investing in.
Sure. I'm sure there would be some people that would not be overly pleased if Brandon Staley actually won a Super Bowl. I would be very happy, by the way, Adam, if that were to happen. But I'm with you there on the Chargers. They were close, like you said, probably should have made the playoffs this past season. 25-1, think that's a good price there. Adam, just looking at this NFL offseason landscape, what's the thing that you're looking forward to the most in the non-Aaron Rodgers sweepstakes division for this NFL offseason?
Yeah, I mean, you know, the obvious answer would be to say the other quarterbacks. You know, I don't know what happens with Aaron Rodgers, but, you know, where does Jimmy Garoppolo go, since it does seem like the 49ers want to hand the keys of the car to Trey Lance? Does somebody take that shot with Deshaun Watson, take that, you know, potential PR hit to get a guy who may very well be a top five, top six quarterback in the NFL? Have we reached that time where some team is going to do that? And obviously we've heard very little about the follow-up to his legal situation or anything like that. But you've also got, you know, does Teddy Bridgewater make somebody better? You know, is that a guy that, you know, could potentially help a team here somewhere this season? You have a lot of moving parts with the quarterbacks, of course. But the other thing that I'm kind of interested in seeing is, you know, what sort of happens with the teams that need help in the draft? You know, and obviously I'm talking about Cincinnati needing offensive linemen, the Browns needing wide receivers and needing a lot of them at that. You know, what happens with these teams? Do they go ahead and draft the best player available or the best player available at their area of need? And I'm sure that's something we'll be talking about extensively here over the next 2 months or so in the lead up to the draft.
No, that's a good point because you, again, you have all free agency beforehand, and then of course the draft here in Vegas at the end of April. Adam, I'm going to be hopeful that we have some newer age draft props here in Vegas because boy, we really do need them this year with the draft in our backyard.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, fortunately for us, VSiN is a national network, so
yes,
we can talk about the things that aren't available to us here in the state of Nevada, but. You know what? Also, too, I mean, we could all carpool with Matt Brown, who I know talks about going down to Arizona all the time. We could just carpool with him down across the border, get in what we need to get in, and then head back to Sin City here.
There we go. With the carpool to Kingman. There we go. That's all we need to do here on the network. Adam Burke with us right now. Of course, our sports betting analyst here at VSiN. Of course, you can find great articles from Adam basically every day on VSiN.com on the tweets at Skating Tripods. Adam, now that we're past football, we shift to college basketball. Is there anything that you look for when you're betting college basketball that may be a little bit different handicapping wise?
I don't know if I would say different necessarily, but to use an example from yesterday, I was on Utah Valley against Tarleton mm-hmm. State, and these two teams played back on January 1st. Utah Valley won the first game by 22 points, and they were only a 2.5 point road favorite last night. And yeah, sometimes you can have outliers. Maybe a team goes, 16 of 29 from three or something like that and has some big performance from beyond the arc. But there was nothing that really stood out as an outlier, nothing that stood out that couldn't be repeated in that game between Utah Valley and Tarleton State. And of course, that line closes in the 2.5 range. Utah Valley wins by 13. That's something I love to do in the month of February because, look, you know this as well as I do. We've all been doing Super Bowl stuff. It's been mm-hmm. a little bit hard to keep up with college basketball. But if I have a recent data point, that's something I can refer to, go back to, see how that matchup went. See if anything stood out. Was there a player in foul trouble for one team who, was maybe their leading scorer? And that kind of dictated what happened in that matchup for them. So I love to look back at the first game between two teams, kind of analyze that, see what the market does, and then go from there for the second game. And that was one that worked out last night where Utah Valley was mostly in control throughout the second half of that one.
Yeah, Utah Valley was a good second half bet as well. That was a close game at halftime. And then Utah Valley steamrolled Tarleton State out of the building in the second half. And Adam, we're gonna keep it with the flavor of some smaller conferences. And you said it yesterday on Betting Across America, all this money spends the same. Pays the same regardless of if it's a Power Five or if it's a smaller conference. We're not in the small of the small here, but tonight UTEP on the road at Louisiana Tech is a game we're looking at here.
Yeah, so this is another thing that I look at, especially once we get deeper in the month of February, and it's that UTEP has played the 13th ranked conference schedule to this point. Their remaining regular season schedule is actually ranked as the toughest, and that includes tonight's game against Louisiana Tech, where the Bulldogs are laying 9 at home in Ruston for this one. So UTEP is stepping up in class a little bit. This is a team with a first-year head coach in Joe Golding, who came over from Abilene Christian, where mm-hmm. they were very, very aggressive with their press defense. Teams that have better ball handlers are going to beat that defense, and Louisiana Tech is one of those teams here. For UTEP this season, too, I don't like anything about their offensive strategy. They're one of the lowest teams in close twos as defined by Bart Torvik in terms of shot share. So they don't get to the rim. They have to take a lot of mid-range jumpers, a lot of long jumpers. That's not really a good offensive strategy for them. And they're 313th in the nation in two-point percentage. So you can see that it's a very inefficient philosophy on offense. So for me, I just think Louisiana Tech -9 tonight. I just think they overwhelm UTEP, a team that I did write about this week in Point Spread Weekly, as a team I am looking to fade here going forward.
UTEP, La Tech, that's a 7:30 Eastern start there in Ruston, so 6:30 local time. Adam likes the Bulldogs laying the 9 against UTEP. Another game, Adam, we have about a minute here for this last game, Hawaii at UC San Diego. You and I actually talked about Hawaii being a team that we may want to go against a few weeks ago on BetCenter. And tonight, Hawaii on the road laying 2.5 against UC San Diego.
Yeah, and hopefully I didn't miss the boat on this one, Jeff. But, Hawaii lost 3 in a row, then blew out Cal State Fullerton over the weekend. But, look, this is a team that obviously plays better at home on the island than they do on the road. They're on the road for 4 of their last 6 games here to end Big West Conference play. they're just a team that they don't force turnovers. They've gotten very fortunate defensively, I think, in terms of how they've done defending two-point shots, because they've actually allowed a lot of shots at the rim. So I think this is something that kind of catches up with Hawaii here throughout the rest of the season. And I think UC San Diego tonight getting the 2.5, maybe a money line sprinkle in that late game out west is a good way to go against the Rainbow Warriors, who I think are in line for some negative regression.
The UC San Diego Tritons, for everyone that's wondering on that. Adam likes them tonight, plus 2.5 or even a little sprinkle, plus 125 on the money line. You can get Adam Burke here at VSiN. You can find his articles at VSiN.com. Our sports betting analyst on the tweets at Skating Tripods. Adam, thanks for being with us this morning.
Appreciate it, Jeff. Have a good one.
You as well. I'll see you tomorrow for Adam Burke. Coming back, college hoops. Plays of the day for me. Matt Neverett already making Eastern Michigan an official play for me. So we'll have that, and we'll have some more. College Hoops plays next. Numbers Game, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All the action you need is at BetMGM. Sign up now using the bonus code VSIN1000 and you will get your first wager risk-free up to $1,000. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selections, live betting options, player props, daily boosted odds specials, and more. Plus, you'll earn BetMGM rewards points that you can redeem for room nights and dining at MGM resorts nationwide. Simply download the BetMGM app today or go to BetMGM.com and enter the bonus code VSIN1000. That's VSIN1000. To make your first wager risk-free, up to $1,000. Eligibility restrictions apply. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. You must be 21 or older to wager. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-transferable free bets or site credit. Free bets expire 7 days from issuance. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. And this offer is not available in the state of Nevada. It is a numbers game on VSiN. Happy to be with you. The Lombardi line's coming your way next. Patrick Maher, Michael Lombardi, get you covered here on a Thursday. It'll be Thursday early afternoon on the East Coast or Thursday morning here out in Las Vegas. College hoops-wise, we actually went 2-0 yesterday. St. John's, 8-point underdog. When we gave it out on the show, close 6.5-point underdogs. Ended up winning outright in Cincinnati against Xavier. And then Rutgers, as we talked about earlier, Rutgers, a 4-point dog at home against Illinois. And that was no contest. Scarlet Knights just dominated that game from the get-go. Rutgers with 4 straight wins against ranked teams, playing them their way from not even close to the tournament to probably not even in Dayton right now. In the bracket without a play-in slot. Gotta love it. Gotta love it for the Scarlet Knights, 70-59 winners. That game really wasn't even that tight. Really, Rutgers was up 15 a good chunk of that game against the Fighting Illini yesterday. Today, I will say this, not the greatest of cards. We are in on Eastern Michigan at this noon tip, getting 11. I would consider taking six in the first half. This does kind of smell like a flat start for Buffalo, and you may just get out-talented in the second half. But I like Eastern Michigan in that very bizarre noon Eastern tip-off in Ypsilanti today. Also, Ypsilanti mentions you cash the over a half pretty easily there. Hopefully you points bet that on those mentions today. One that I do like later, and I will say we talked about the Arizona-Oregon State angle before, where that total seems to be dipping. You may want to just be patient with that. Bet that one over. That's not in the account yet. I'm going to wait to see if we have a dip on the total. It was 153 overnight. You're starting to see some 152s and even a 151.5 on a total for Arizona and Oregon State. But that's something that I'm going to be looking at. I convinced Matt Neverett to take the over in that game, so we'll see how that one goes. But we're going to go to a team that won a game in a tournament last year, and that is North Texas. On quite the roll out of CUSA, North Texas has not lost since January the 6th, where they lost at home to UAB. Since then, they've racked off 10 in a row. They're 18-4 in the year. They get Florida Atlantic. The Owls, actually, from their numbers, play out like a pretty reasonable team. You're seeing that number of 3. It was 2 overnight, now 3 and 2.5. On North Texas, I'm in at 2.5 on the mean green. I'm just going to take the better team. Yes, I understand they're on the road. Yes, I understand it is a conference game. But I am going to take the better team and the better coach team in this one. I love Grant McCaslin. Excellent coach. By the way, Matt Neverett, North Texas is actually one slot behind Providence in KenPom right now.
And I got burned on Providence the other day.
Well, Providence, we talked about it earlier in the week, because Providence seems to be a team that the numbers hate Providence. Number one in luck on KenPom. Torvik doesn't love them either. They're a team that just seemingly has gotten by winning close games. They lead the country in most wins by 7 or less this year. But North Texas, only one spot behind them, and they're ahead of Indiana now as well in KenPom. I watched them a few times in conference play. They're very impressive. Played this very unwatchable slow tempo. So it may not be the best game on your eyes, but they're great defensively. So we'll lay 2.5. That's good to 3 on North Texas there in Boca tonight against the FAU Owls. So I do like that tonight. One that I'm a little aggravated myself. I should have taken the overnight. See, I had the foresight on this. Michigan down to 5 right now in Iowa City against Iowa. I don't think Iowa's really any good. The problem is I don't want to take the 5 with Michigan, who's coming off the loss against Ohio State. I think this is the proper line move to Michigan here from 6 or 6.5 down to 5. If you see a pop at any day with money coming on Iowa at any point, I would consider coming back in on Michigan. I just really don't like this Iowa team. And Michigan has been, as we've mentioned, probably the most disappointing team in the country this year. Expectations after getting a 1 seed last year, I don't think they're a tournament team. But tonight, if you can get back to 6, I would definitely take Michigan at 6. 5.5, I'd considering again 5. I think you're probably looking at maybe in a push range as well. I wouldn't lay with Iowa, though. That I would not do in this one tonight in Iowa City. One more here in the CAA. Matt, we talked about it the last time I was in for Gil. UNC Wilmington is kind of the darling of this conference. They are not liked by the number, by the analytic numbers. They had a win streak of 11 straight games. They've covered all but one of their last 18. The UNC Wilmington Seahawks. They're at home tonight against Towson, who these teams played in Towson earlier in the year. UNC Wilmington was a pretty nice-sized underdog, almost double digits. They were 8.5 in that one. They won outright in overtime in that game. Tonight, they come back home getting 3. We're going to take 3 with the Seahawks at home against Towson. I will say this with Towson. I think when we get to the CAA tournament in D.C., if you're looking to bet a futures number, Towson is the team I would bet. I think they are the most talented team. and you get these teams on a neutral, I would probably look to play Towson. But in UNC Wilmington's building, as a home dog, where UNC Wilmington has been great as a home underdog this year, they've been underdogs at home to the likes of Hofstra, who's probably the second best team by the numbers in that conference, won that game outright. Home underdog to Drexel, won that game outright. They've been very good as a home underdog or a short home favorite this year. So we're going to take three with Wilmington, probably a sprinkle, a plus 135 on the money line as well for UNC Wilmington tonight. So there you go. I ended up with a three-pack here of Eastern Michigan, great, UNC Wilmington here in this one, and then North Texas. Get three different shades of green tonight. There you go. Three different shades of green. And hopefully it brings back one shade of green for us tonight.
I was about to say, what color is money? There you go. Yeah, I like the omen.
Yeah, hopefully it's one shade of green back to us tonight. By the way, one other thing I will say with this slate, Matt, and we talked about it before, just really an ugly-looking slate on the board, and usually that can produce some ridiculous basketball when we end up with that. But look, we are 1 month away from the round of 64. That's the one benefit that I will say, and it could work as a benefit and a negative. With the NFL season being a week extra, so the Super Bowl is a week further back than usual, the week after next is the smaller conference tournaments already. Like this is going to be quick for people that were all in on, that were only paying attention to the NFL, and look, that's a lot of us. College basketball, it's going to hit you right in the face here as we go through this last month. And look, I don't know about you, Matt Everett. The best individual event, period, and I know this is not a hot take at all, betting-wise, watching-wise, sport-wise, of course, the first 2 days of March Madness. The best. Can't wait to have it feel a little more regular this year than it did last year. Remember, we did Friday through Monday last year for the first two rounds of the tournament. This year, back to your regular format, teams going across the country. Of course, starting, and also too, it's St. Patrick's Day, the first day of the tournament. Be some interesting sights here in Vegas. That I know for sure, experiencing some of those St. Patty's Day NCAA tournament days always can be interesting here in town. So there you go. You better get your Eastern Michigan bet in right now, because that game starts in 5 minutes in the Ypsilanti. They're right now getting 11 up from 9 overnight on Eastern Michigan, the Eagles there against the Buffalo Bulls. That's all the time we have here on Numbers Game. Thanks for tuning in today. The Lombardi Line, Patrick Maher, Michael Lombardi, coming your way next here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Good luck on all your bets tonight, and we'll see you tomorrow morning here on a Numbers Game.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only, must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie, because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.